funny enough, I'm going to speak on something that's to do with my family. And it wasn't my intention to do so. But as the week's gone on, it's just evolved into this message. And today I'm going to be speaking from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, 22 to 33. So we're going to read and then I'll pray and then we will get into the word. I don't intend to be before you long. Famous last words. Okay, so let us read. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And if you have pens or highlighters, just highlight this bit. But when he saw, highlight, that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Today, I want to speak on the topic, where is my belief focused? Okay, I just want to pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy and your loving kindness, which is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness towards us, Lord God. And Father, we are grateful to you for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning. Lord, we pray that your spirit will descend upon this environment, Lord God, that you will have your way. Father God, I pray that I will decrease and that you might increase in me, Father, that the word will be delivered as you so choose it, to touch the hearts and minds of your children, Father God, for the purpose for which you intended your word to accomplish in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Okay. So, for those of you that don't know, I'm married to the wonderful Zakia, I'm in a mixed heritage relationship. So, my wife is from Pakistan. Her family are from Pakistan, and my family are from the Caribbean. And as I'm sure you can imagine, our relationship caused a bit of a stir. And for those of you that are unaware, since we have been together, there's been a few challenges with regards to Zach's nucleus family. So. And that has, over time, caused many challenges. And recently, Zakia's sister has got married. And when Zach heard about this, obviously being estranged from her family and she was unable to go, her natural instinct was, look, I want to go. And her sister's getting married in Pakistan. And she wanted to go. And my heart was very troubled, to say the least, because I understood her desire to go. It was her younger sister, and her desire to go was so strong. But my desire to keep Zach safe was equally strong, and there was a challenge. And this moment brought me back to a memory that I had a few years ago when we were starting to share the fact that we're in a relationship. And I'm quite a faith-filled person. So I was like, oh, God's God, this is fine. Tell your sister, tell whoever, it's going to be fine. God will work it out. It's all going to be great. And and Zaki was a bit more hesitant, but off of the back of my faith juice, she went ahead and was like, okay, I'm going to do this, okay. And she shared with her sister that we're together, and to put it mildly, the reaction was not what I had anticipated, it caused Zach a lot of trauma, which for me was just ground shaking. Like it felt like the rug had just been pulled from underneath me, and all of the faith that I had put in this situation had completely disappeared. And I became very fearful of what to do next, how to go about it. And that emotion returned when Zach wanted to go to Pakistan. And it brought me to come to the text. You know, when you're worried, you can pray, you can talk to people. But one of the most comforting things is going to the Word of God and seeing what the direction of the Scriptures give. And for those who may be hearing me, whether online, whether today or in the future, Christians are not, we're not better people than anyone else. We recognize that we are equally as flawed as everyone else. And in order to manage our flaws, we need the help of God. And it is that understanding that brings us to the point of humility, that we know that we cannot live this life without Him. And I recognize that these situations were beyond me. And the story of Peter walking on water is something that really encourages me, because he goes through things that I identify with. And I want to look at these scriptures and the messages today to get us to think about faith differently. Because sometimes we can think about faith and just believe it is, and therefore you should just have it, and therefore if you don't demonstrate it, you lack faith. And faith is a bit more diverse than that. It's a bit more complex than that. It's not a thing you just have. It's something that develops within you through experience, through understanding, through knowledge, and through choosing to develop your relationship with God. And it is that journey that builds the faith in you. And what I love about what Matthew does, between chapters 16 to 18 of his book, is that he uses Peter as a canvas to paint the picture of a leader who fails quite often. And the beauty of the scriptures is that we identify, because there's nothing new under the sun, that there are things that these guys go through that we go through every single day. And Peter, we can sometimes think of the disciples as, because they're examples to us, that we only think of their successes, and because of that, they're like the standard to aspire to, which is true. But in aspiring to be like them, there are lessons that we must learn that we can then apply to our lives to enable us to be as successful as they were in their walk with Christ. So what I don't want to be lost is that, yes, Peter came across as a leader, but Peter had moments like this where he had the faith to step out of the boat, but not the faith to sustain him outside of the boat. And so let's delve into the text. So just a bit of background. Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000, and he's now sent them away and he's gone to pray, and he said, guys, go over there. As the disciples are in the boat, unlike in Matthew 8, where Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and there was a storm, and then he wakes up, and he calms the storm, and then he tells them, in this one, Jesus isn't present. And these guys have gone out following Jesus' instruction. Let's bear that in mind. And they found themselves in a situation that is concerning. And Jesus sees, let's not add to the text, let's go with what the text says. Jesus then appears, and Jesus' presence becomes a source of concern in addition to the situation and circumstances that they're in. Which, when you think about that, is quite interesting. It's quite interesting that they were in a situation and circumstance that worried them, and the solution to their situation and circumstance equally concerned them. And when I think about the situation that I'm in with my wife and her family, I can sometimes get that there are micro and macro ways to look at things. There are detailed and wider sense way of analyzing things. And sometimes in our lives, we can get so caught up in the small, today, this is what's going on, that we can sometimes not see the purpose and plan that God has in the bigger picture. And when I think about the situation that I find myself in, I found that I attributed my confidence to the appearance of a situation going the way that I would like it to go, and assumed that by it doing so, God is in control and everything's fine. And when it doesn't go the way that I want it to go, it's, oh, what's going on? Okay, what do I need to do? And this scripture really gets me to actually evaluate that and think, no, that's not necessarily the case. So I go back to the point that I made previously, that Jesus sent the disciples on the boat. He sent them away. So let's start with the question, did Jesus know that there was going to be a storm? He would have known. He would have known that there was going to be a storm. So then the question is, why would he send them on the boat without him, knowing that there was going to be a storm? And I said, but okay, there must be a plan and a purpose. Okay, so for me, so I'm just sharing with you how I'm working through my problems, yeah? So this is just my process of going to scriptures and trying to encourage myself. It's quite cathartic, guys. Thank you for listening and sharing. So it allows me to take a moment and a pause to say, okay, stress and strife doesn't necessarily mean that God's presence is absent. So when I now go a bit deeper into the text and I understand, okay, Jesus sent them, the storm is going on, I then start to look at Jesus, whenever we hear Jesus, Jesus represents the presence of God. Okay, so the disciples, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, were unaware that it was Jesus and thought it was a ghost. First of all, I found it amazing that the disciples believed in ghosts and that was documented. But again, that is a separate thing. That could create its own conversation. But they assumed it was a ghost. Yeah? And Peter says, okay, if it is you, Lord, bid me to come. And this reminds me, you know, with our children, like they want to do what their parents do. Oh, you're driving, let me sit in the front. Oh, like, and you give them a small insight into what it is to be you. And Jesus, when I look at it, that's how I think of this situation. I know the author's not necessarily trying to do that. This is just me and the way I work through my issues. But Jesus is like, yeah, okay, cool, come. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you insight into some of what I have. But what you need, yeah, to do this is faith. You need that to do this. And Jesus said to the disciples, the things that I do, you're going to do even more. So you're going to do these things. And he's told them this. And so he says, come. Now, this is the part that I find quite interesting. This was for me, really interesting. So Peter steps out of the boat. He had the faith to recognize, yep, that's Jesus. Excellent. Let's go. So he steps out. He steps out now. And as he stepped out, this is the way that I see it. Ooh, the wind is. And then now, it's caught his attention. Wait, hold on a minute. This isn't ground. This is water. This is water. And instantly he sinks. What do I find interesting? But the first thing that I find interesting is that Peter was in the presence of God. He was bid to do something by God. Yet his focus was not on God. It was not on the thing that bid him to come. His focus was on the thing that made him fearful. It was not on the thing that made him believe to leave. It was on the thing that made him afraid in the first place. In the presence of God. Let's just take a moment to think about that. Because we would automatically assume in the presence of God there is liberty. There is freedom. I'm in God's presence. Of course I'm going to be. And we can sometimes reel off these Christianese ideas that, yeah, of course I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. But this is a disciple that lived with Jesus, ate with Jesus, and ministered with Jesus. This is not someone who did not know who had bid him to come out of the boat. And this is where I started to look at myself in my situation, have a bit of compassion, and understand, okay, wait, there's a lesson to be learned here. That these feelings and experiences that I'm having, I need to actually dissect this to understand what am I going through and what is it that I need to learn here. And as Peter had been bid, he then fell. And just like me, when I felt the rug was pulled, I'm telling you, I was praying that night. Lord, help me. I need your help. Just like that, this is where I could identify Peter. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand and said to him, O ye of little faith. And when I think about that statement again, that got me thinking. Because the Bible says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be removed from you. So then I'm thinking, how small was his faith at this point? Was it like half of a mustard seed? And it was like, oh, do you know what? You had enough to say to that, but not this. And it was like, no. It wasn't about the sense of faith in its volume. I see it as faith as in where he placed it and its durability. That what he saw became the focus of his belief. I could actually die. I could actually sink. This could actually do this to me. This, rather than I'm with Jesus. He's bid me to come. He will cover everything that I need. He's watching over me. He's walking and he told me I can do it. Therefore, all I need to do is believe what he said. And it's the dichotomy of fear and faith that really interests me. One has the power to discourage. The other has the power to inspire courage. And in believers, we face this consistent battle. And what I loved about Matthew using Peter as the canvas is that it shows us that in all of us, we are capable of great things. But equally so, in all of us, we are capable of failing and having many flaws. And it is that sensitivity to that balance that keeps us close to Jesus. And when I looked at the depiction of Peter, I could see that the author was trying to help me understand that there can sometimes be a paradox in our lives. And there's a and he uses a paradox of Peter to highlight that, in showing that Peter, when Jesus asked Peter, I think it's in chapter 16, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, oh, you're the Son of God, you're the Christ. And it's upon this rock that I shall build my church. This is that Peter, the rock that God will build his church on. But equally so, you go a couple of verses down, it's the same Peter that Jesus said, devil, get thee behind me. Because Peter was like, far be it from you that you should suffer. We're talking about the same Peter. So the paradox is this, is that Peter is the one in which is going to be the rock for which the church is built on. But yet Peter denied Christ, denied even knowing Christ 3 times. And it's that internal battle that all of us face at different times that is of interest to me. And when I think about the challenges that I face with my family, I read this and I find comfort. Comfort in understanding that it's very important for each of us to understand that we will fail in this walk with Christ. You will fail. We're on the journey of sanctification, and that's a process of submission to the will of God and the plan and purpose of God. And we will make mistakes. But the most important thing is, where do we put our faith? Because if I continue to place my belief in myself, I will continue to fail. I will continue to be the one focused on everything else. The sea is raging. This is going on. Oh, what if this person doesn't come back? What if this person doesn't do these things? What if that doesn't happen? And had Peter been that focused at all points, he would have never even got out of the boat in the first place. But it's the importance of understanding that, yes, I understand that I may fail, but where I put my belief is essential to what God can accomplish in my life. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Now, it doesn't say without great faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say without mountain moving faith, it's impossible to please God. No, it says without faith. Without faith, faith, the belief. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not what I see. The Bible says that the just shall live by and not by right. So then we understand that the 5 senses that God has given us can sometimes be the biggest deceivers. That what we know can sometimes be bypassed just because of what we see, based on what we hear, based on all of the things around us. And I look at my situation and now I see so much hope. I see so much hope, even though the appearance may be nothing but despair. Because I understand that my hope isn't in this person. My hope is not in that person. My hope isn't even in myself nor my wife. I realize from this story that if I'm ever going to walk on water, if I'm ever going to see what is considered impossible in my life, I can only afford to put my hope in Christ. It is that focus that allows for peace. The Bible says that he will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. If you are in a state of emotional, mental, physical, or financial, whatever it is, whatever trouble, stress, trauma, I encourage you, draw closer to God. Draw closer to God, that the storms are going to come what may. They're going to come what may. So not being closer to God is not going to prevent the storm. And this is what the world wants us to believe, that our faith forces us to live a life that we don't necessarily want to live. We've got to give up all of these wonderful benefits just so that we can live by these rules, so that someone can control us into being some type of pawn that can be used. That's a deception from the enemy, because he works on a divide and conquer. Divide you from Christ and conquer you. The truth of the matter is that the only answer to these conundrums can only be found in our relationship with Christ. And what I find so interesting is that when Jesus got back into the boat, everything stopped. He didn't even speak to the wind or the waves. He just got back in and everything stopped. And I look at that and I say, Lord, I find that so interesting, because it was like you just orchestrated the whole thing. You sent them and you came to them, and after coming to them, you get in the boat and everything that was going on just stopped. Is it possible that some of the strange stresses and traumas that we are experiencing right now have been situations set up to activate our faith in God? Have they been orchestrated to challenge us to ask the question, what's my focus right now? Who am I looking to answer this particular situation? Is my faith or my belief focused on me or God? The difference, the thing that can never be forgotten, and I really want to get this across, is that fear and faith require the exact same thing. They both require belief. In order for fear to be activated, I have to believe something bad could happen, will happen, in order for me to feel that feeling. And don't get me wrong, fear is not a bad thing in all situations. It was a part of our survival mechanism as humans. It's kept us alive. It is one of those emotions, again, that has a positive effect in certain situations. Our fear of dying, we put safety measures in place, seatbelts in cars or walking across the road, and to help the highway code and all of the rest of it. Those are just simple examples, but you get the meaning, that we put things in place out of fear of the negative. The point is when fear takes over and diminishes our faith is where it becomes a problem. And I haven't been that long, I'm thinking of closing. I just want the family to understand that where we plant our faith is going to, or our beliefs is going to impact what grows in our life. And if I plant my beliefs in me, what's going to grow in me is going to be of me. And what is of me is the flesh. It's going to feed everything that is of the flesh. And those who are not familiar with the term of the flesh, what I mean is that it's going to build everything in me that's of myself, that I am central focus of the universe, that I think what I feel, that so I can only see as far as I can see. And anything else, the benefit that I have is hindsight, which is of things that have happened. But when I put my faith or my belief in God, who can foresee what I cannot see, I'm putting my seed into something that will enable me to go from a seed to a plant to a tree that produces fruit that enables others to eat and benefit from. And I want to encourage, the house that no matter where you are on your faith journey, you may be a seed. It's okay. It's okay. A seed in the hands of God can move mountains. Where you put these beliefs is going to impact the fruits in our lives. I want everyone to examine themselves and ask themselves, where do I put my belief? What is going on in my life? I'll tell you a situation. I joined the current company that I'm in 5 years ago for a particular position. And the funny thing is that position has, they've trained you up and I've had many promotions throughout, but the ultimate goal was this particular position. And the funny thing is that this week that I'm speaking on this topic, yeah, the position comes up and I think to myself, I don't know if I'm ready, you know. I don't know if I'm ready. And I'm standing here now, and as I'm speaking to you, literally, I feel so convicted. I put myself forward for the position, but I feel so convicted that it's irrespective of whether I get it or not. It's about what I believe. And I'm standing here, I'm saying, look, do you know what? No matter what the situation looks like, I need to put my belief in the fact that God has a greater plan for my life. God's plan for my life is so much greater than anything that I can think or imagine. And I want to encourage everyone, take the belief out of your situation. Take the belief out of the people around you. Take it out of all of those things and place it in God. Place it in Him. And see if He doesn't do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even think, that the water that you was walking on. What? This actually happened? I was afraid of this not so long ago. This thing had me in the boat shook. But now the thing that was scaring me is now the thing that I'm walking on. And I just want to close with this. The beautiful thing about Peter's journey that is articulated in Matthew that goes on to the book of Acts. So, or let's say throughout the Gospels, but this canvas of Peter, for me, is Matthew and then goes on to the book of Acts, is that having now experienced the risen Christ, it is Peter who took the message from the Jews to the Gentiles that have benefited every single one of us in this room. He went from all of those failings and he didn't quit. He didn't say, oh, do you know what? I'm done with all of this God stuff and all of that. He continued to take the lessons. He continued to walk with Christ. Even after Christ had died and he struggled, when he met the risen Lord and realized, no, it's not what I thought. This is true. You are the Christ. He then went out and done great things. And there are many great things for all of us to accomplish that are beyond our fears. There are many, if we choose to place our trust and our belief in Christ. So I'm just going to close, but I look forward to updating you with the newness. I'm telling you, I have so much faith in God in this situation. Yeah, that I believe that, and when it happens, I'm going to post a picture of all of us up there. Me, Zakia, her mum, dad, and brother and sister, and their respective partners. I believe it as I speak to you today. I believe it. Now, that belief does not require anything other than I put it in God. And I understand that He has a plan. I'd encourage us all, let's take that approach with these storms and trials that we're facing. Let's not let them make us doubt that in the presence of God, that we can look at that and say, no, He can't do it, it's this, and it's because of that. No, 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 no. Let's activate our belief and put it into something that is greater than us and anyone else. And let's see what our God can do. Let's show the world that he is great and far beyond anyone's understanding. He cannot be boxed into these. If you do these 10 steps, you'll get a blessing. And if you don't do these things, then he'll cover you. Nah. Let's show the world through our faith that he is real.